You're listening to Mac Talk on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the badass Battle Mug. Starts with 13.5 pounds of T6 billet aluminum, detailed milling, machining and anodized, ready for you to kind of trick out to make it your own. Picatinny rails, just like on your M4, your M16. If you're a hunter and you take this thing hunting, you go ahead and your binoculars, a rangefinder, camera, a light, any of that can be mounted on it easily. And there's a lid that goes on it too, so you don't dump your coffee in your lap while you're checking out a deer or whatever you're hunting. So it's built like that. It's also great for keeping it on your desk, because those same rails accommodate flags, emblems, all kinds of stuff you can use. So great for commemorative events, dining in, mess night, all of that. Great for retirements, great for promotions, and any other kind of special occasion. Check them out at battlemug.com, promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned small business, Marine veteran-owned small business, and all of it made in the United States. So battlemug.com, a great sponsor here on All Marine Radio. Joining me now, from the St. Louis area, I'm not sure, Dennis Simpson, former sergeant, United States Marine Corps. So, Dennis, first of all, thanks for coming on this morning and joining us here on All Marine Radio.
Hey, great to be here. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk. And you're right, we are from the St. Louis area, and the Focus Marines Foundation is what we're going to talk about today.
All right. Tell me about let's talk about you first, and then we'll talk about the Focus Marines Foundation. Born and raised where?
Born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, and moved around a little bit, but got back home. So this is home for me.
All right. And a quick question before we talk more about you. Sure. Is it really necessary at the baseball games for everybody to wear red? Is that a little much?
Absolutely not. I mean, if you don't wear red, you really don't belong. And it's not only at baseball games. It's the entire baseball season.
Holy smoke, man. I didn't know there was that much red on the planet. Like, you guys in the Cornhuskers, man, where do you guys find all that red? But holy smoke. No, I'll tell you what.
Have a football team, and we don't have a basketball team, so baseball's it.
No, but I'll tell you what a great love affair the Cardinals, the baseball Cardinals have with the city of St. Louis and a beautiful stadium. I was there a few years ago, and what a beautiful place that they built and a great franchise. So, no. But what about, how does the Marine Corps get on your radar growing up?
Well, you know, I guess I watched too many John Wayne movies as a kid. I want to be corny, but it was a patriotic thing. I always wanted to be a Marine, and as soon as I had the opportunity, I joined the Marine Corps.
Did anybody else? Now, that was pretty uncommon, because you joined the Marine Corps in 1977?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you're 18, you're born in 1950, around there?
Well, I did a while away at the community college for a year, I was born in 57 and joined the Marine Corps when I was 19.
Okay, all right. So, but there was a lot of stuff going on in the country then, and there wasn't that many guys that were willing to join in 1977, and yet you were smitten by it. Talk about the Marine Corps that you joined, post Vietnam Marine Corps.
It was post Vietnam, and you're absolutely right. It wasn't popular at the time. I'm thrilled to see how it is today, you know, as far as the public accepting the Marine Corps. It was different time, different era. There wasn't a whole lot going on. I had a pretty uneventful career in the Marine Corps. Kept the Russians from invading. That was my big accomplishment there.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
But it was a different time. You know, people were ambivalent. It was post-Vietnam, and I think people were just ambivalent about the military in general. And you're right, there was not a lot of enthusiasm, not a lot of people my age were going into any of the services at that time.
So, and what's your MOS? You come in the Marine Corps?
I was started as a military police and got to go to straight out of boot camp, Fort McClellan, Alabama, for military police training, and that was quite an eye-opener because they shared female and male barracks at the time, and it was an eye-opener coming straight out of boot camp. So. But did some stint at the military police at the Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, Arizona. And one of my buddies decided it would be a cool thing to go to DI school. So I thought it would be cool to join him, and off I went.
So you become a drill instructor.
A couple of years on the grinder out at Parris Island, 1st Recruit Training Battalion, A Company.
What? Let me ask you an opinion question then. When you see the incidents that have taken place there recently, your thoughts on that? I mean, there's I don't know. Did you ever experience drill instructor hazing of each other?
Not hazing. You always, like any organization, any job, you always have the few that kind of besmirch and give a bad name to all of them, and we certainly had them in. But for the most part, you know, it was very rigid. You had strict rules to abide by, and I, personally, other than the Marine Corps boot camp, and I don't call it hazing, I call it indoctrination, but to go outside of that, some of the things I'm reading, I don't know any more than, you know, what I read in the paper.
Right.
I think you can accomplish the purpose and turn a Marine into a Marine without doing some of the, what was alleged.
Yeah, so. Creative, stupid stuff that people think they have to do to make Marines.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But it's all, I find it interesting always speaking to former hats about their experience because something different happens to Marines when they put that campaign cover on. I mean, you become an iconic figure in the Marine Corps, and so it's very. I find it very interesting.
You do, and when people, I think the public tends, you know, obviously if they've never had experience, some of the things that you hear about is necessary and it's, you know, authorized. But you know, the interesting thing is that your drill instructor is probably not much older than the recruit. You know, he may be 22, 23 years old, which in the civilian world he'd still be in college. And you're putting a lot of responsibility and a lot of on that young man. So.
All right. So you do 4 years in the Marine Corps. You get out as sergeant, and then what?
Went to work for the post office. Bounced around a little bit. Employment wasn't all that hot back in 1981, and I walked into the post office looking for a job. I'm probably my 30th or 40th place to visit, and they had a sign on the wall said, not accepting applications except from veterans who've been discharged within the last 120 days.
Oh.
Yeah, so I counted up my days. I was like at 90. So
that's mean.
Started off as a letter carrier, got my college degree at night, and I think that's one thing the Marine Corps instilled in me was, how valuable education can be. So I got my degree and always wanted to get into law enforcement and became a United States Postal Inspector, which is the federal law enforcement arm of the Postal Service that enforce all the federal statutes regarding the U.S. mail. Did 20 plus years of that. Retired from the Postal Inspection Service in 2010.
Now, I saw that you did law enforcement, the LERP program. You went to Afghanistan.
Yes, they have it's called the Law Enforcement Professional Program, and really it was unique, and what an experience it was. So, military in 2006 got tired of all their troops getting blown up. And this is how the program started. They got tired of the getting blown up, and all they were doing was cleaning up the mess and moving on. So they decided to get some people with law enforcement and investigative experience out there to try to figure out who's doing it and track it down just as you would a drug conspiracy or a fraud conspiracy and track down and find out who's behind the IED placements. And from that, the program evolved. So what happens is they take a retired, usually retired law enforcement agent and embed them with the unit. You're in uniform, you're armed, you're with them, and you are the law enforcement advisor to the command for that unit. And really an interesting concept, very, very well received by the military. They couldn't get enough of them. Small cadre. So I did 2010. I went to Iraq. I was embedded with the Special Operations Command in Iraq, and was one of the last men standing. I pulled out of there in September of 2011, and we were completely out of Iraq by December of 2011. Took a few months at home and then went over to Afghanistan and was embedded with the U.S. Army 1st Infantry Division in Paktika Province in Afghanistan. Interesting, very interesting dynamics, and it was an interesting experience.
Talk to me about I was over there at the same time, and so I wondered if you were at all in Helmand Province, but obviously you weren't.
The civilian contract with the government is just like the military. When I first got hired on as a contractor, they asked me, "Well, what do you want to do?" And this was my first assignment. I said, "Hey, I want Marines. I want Afghanistan." So I got the Navy in Iraq.
There you go. Semper, yeah. Hey, Semper Gumby, man. Semper Gumby.
Exactly.
Oh, my guest, Dennis Simpson, we're talking about his career. How does the foundation get started? So I notice it's a lot of Marines on the board. And what creates it? What gets it going? How does it happen?
This is an amazing story, one I love to talk about. I wasn't around for the founding. I was pounding the sand in Iraq at that time. Actually started around in 2010 with what is finally called the St. Louis Marine Mafia. It's a bunch of Marines that got together. A lot of them were Vietnam veterans. Some of them had sons in the war. And, decided, hey, you know, we, especially the Vietnam guys, they're like, you know what, we know what we faced coming back from Vietnam. We got to do something for these guys. So they put a brain trust together, and I'm going to tell you what, you got a group of guys, the whole board is Marines, everybody on the board is Marines, and some of the best people I've ever met in the world right there in that Focus Marines Foundation. So they put together a program. A lot of it was trial and error in the beginning, and got together with some experts, hooked in with the Wounded Warrior Regiment of the Marine Corps,
right.
and the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society with the combat casualty nurses, and actually put together a week-long program that is designed to help Marines who are struggling injured Marines who are struggling with their transition from military to civilian world, whether it's because of their physical injuries, whether it's because of TBI, which is prevalent throughout the Marine Corps,
right.
or post-traumatic stress. So it's a program that's put together to address those issues and get them back on track, get them transitioned to the civilian world. It's a one-week long program held out in Augusta, Missouri, which is probably from the St. Louis airport about 26 miles out in the middle of beautiful wine country in Missouri. And
what country?
Wine country.
I thought you guys made moonshine. I didn't know you made
that's down at the Ozarks.
I thought you Ridge Runners made moonshine. Who knew you made wine?
The legitimate people have wine groves.
That's what they're calling them these days. But I saw some of the pictures on your website. And the website is focusmarines.org. So if you're following along, go to the website and you'll see some of the pictures of the facility. And wow, what a beautiful place.
It is gorgeous. It's privately owned and generously donated by the owner for our use 4 times a year. We hold 4 sessions a year, 1 week each.
Okay.
And the donor is very, very generous in accommodating us. It accommodates not only 36 Marines that come in for the week session. That's the most we can handle is 36.
Okay.
They house in a, sort of a, we call it the bunkhouse, but it's more of a quad. You know, they're like four-man quads.
Right.
And, beautiful farm setting. They also house all the team leaders that come in and assist, and some of the and the speakers that come in. And it's I don't know how big the property is. I'm 140 acres maybe. I'm just guessing. Setting on a beautiful lake, and it's just a remote facility where the Marines have, you know, we have the time. There's no minimal distractions in a beautiful setting. So it's very, very generous of the owner to donate that facility to us 4 times a year. He's a former Marine himself. Not to backtrack, but I'll tell you an interesting story about that.
Go ahead.
About that facility. So when this our benefactor bought it for his family, he purchased it from somebody who that farm had been in their family for generations. Unbeknownst to him at the time, and we later found out once we started Focus Marines, he bought it from a fellow named Charlie Stockhausen. And Charlie now comes out to Focus Marines and talks to the Marines for a period of time and signs pictures, signs autographs. Charlie fought on Iwo Jima as a Marine and then fought at the Chosin Reservoir as a Marine. So very, very...
So he's not right in the head either.
Yeah.
he knows what he's talking about, because those are two interesting experiences. You wouldn't get over either one had you had them singularly. And put together, you're probably not talking to a whole lot of people, but Charlie sounds like he's done all right.
Yes. He's doing good. He comes out. Age has certainly affected him, but he enjoys coming out. The Marines love him. They just absolutely swarm him. He'll get up. He'll tell his little story about the Chosin, and tell a story about Iwo Jima and tell a couple jokes, and the Marines just love him. He's a great guy.
Okay. Yeah, let me tell you, those guys are, you know, even when we're in groups, the discussion stops when those guys show up, because they are part of the iconic history of the Marine Corps. When you say Iwo Jima, and it doesn't matter if you were throwing ammunition down on the beach, the fact that you were there at the Chosin Reservoir, arguably might be the Marine Corps' greatest feat of arms in terms of what you do under pressure when it's not going right and how they reacted, incredible. But I'll tell you what, the rough places, and I'm certain that, you know, in terms of what you're doing, speaks to him, because at that point you came home, you went back to work, you put it in the box, and you hope nobody knocked the lid off. And that's how we dealt with the mental aspects of combat. And so I'm sure for him, this is something that he's extremely happy to do and glad to support.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that about the World War II vets. Is, you know, once I started in with the Focus Marines Foundation, that came forefront, and if you look at some of the old movies that deal with the very issues we're still dealing with, the Best Times of Our Lives deals with three military people coming back from World War II that have a variety of post-traumatic stress problems. So it's nothing new. It's been around as long as combat has. It just now it's got a name, and we're trying to address it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Anyway, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. So back to Focus Marines. So we have the 1 week program, and it's, I guess you can divide it into three sections. The first part of the week we deal with their internal issues, getting out of the victim mindset and becoming a responsible person, getting over survivor's guilt, and talking about ways to move forward, how to do that. We'll give them some goals to set, some very specific goals that, you know, if they're having problems in their life. It's one thing to sit and say, a lot of these guys are withdrawn right. from society. They're sitting in their basements playing the video games, or not, don't have contact with people outside of their little inner circle there. And to say, you know, okay, I'm sitting here, I've been out of the Corps for 5 years, I'm 30 pounds overweight, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. To say that to yourself is one thing, but to actually say it out loud in front of somebody and make a plan to do that. So that's the kind of things we'll, first part of the week we'll work on is developing a personal goal for them to do, whether it's, you know, get that associate's degree or get that carpenter certificate, whatever it is, for each individual, we'll work on them to move them out of that comfort zone, out of that little circle they're in, and move them forward in life. And we have a variety of ways. We have a great facilitator that helps with that, by the name of Dan, a guy by the name of Dan Doerr. Excellent, very attached to the program, very dedicated to the program, does a great job. We also have a variety of speakers that'll come in and talk to them about issues. Nick Popovich, Gunny Pop, he comes in. Oh man, what a speaker he is! He'll come in, and I'm ready to reenlist once I speak. And John O'Leary's a local fella, but he's a national speaker. John was severely burned as a child, and 95% of his body, third-degree burns. He shouldn't be alive today,
right.
But he is, and he's a fantastic speaker. Tells a great story about, you know, just how to overcome adversity. So that's basically the first part of the week, what we'll work with. And the Marines are divided into groups of three, and each group is assigned a senior team leader, which is an older guy, but it is, and a Marine. The Marine team leader, all these guys have been extremely successful in their careers and in their lives, and will mentor these Marines along through the week. And along with we'll bring back some graduates from the program who have done extremely well, and they also are a huge part of the program in helping these guys. Second part of the week, we'll work on civilian skills. We'll work on resume writing, educational opportunities, job opportunities. We'll do mock interview, job interviews. We have some very large businesses in the St. Louis area that will supply us with human resources people. That's what they do for a living, is interview people for jobs, and they'll sit down and they'll do a mock job interview and give the Marine pointers. You know, here's, you know, have more eye contact, or you need to, you know, stop fiddling with your pen. You know, so just remain calm and give them pointers and how to do that. We'll talk about networking and ways to get them out of their shell and to move forward. And the third component is follow-up, because not once you leave Focus, and I tell you, one of the great thing about Focus is they're back in that Marine Corps brotherhood, right. And there's just something about being among other Marines that some of the other services don't have.
It is what it is, right?
It is. And we've talked about it. The Army, you know, and I spent time, believe me, I spent time with the Army in Afghanistan. Great, great group of guys. Great. They're good at what they do, but their loyalty is to their unit, the 82nd Airborne or the 10th Mountain Division. Marines are Marines. So, and
You want to hear you want to hear an interesting story? I went to Fort Knox to their to their armor course because I was going to be I was an infantry guy. I was going back to be a light armored reconnaissance officer, and so that I went to the armor school. And it was interesting because we were at a dining inn, and you would hear from so many of those guys, you want to know what we hate most about you? Like, God, again? Really? Come on. Let it go. Okay? I know your uncle was a Marine and that you wanted to, but you thought that boot camp stuff was crazy. I know that. You're a pussy. We know that. Right? And you give a tough time. But, I remember, they were sending in a group. And he said, when somebody asks you, if you're in an airport and somebody says, are you in the military? Every one of you says the same thing. I'm a Marine. That's all you say. Where if you're in the Army, you say, I'm airborne, I'm armor, that's what you say.
Exactly.
You guys
right.
are so
right.
proud to be Marines.
Right.
I'm like...
And rightfully so.
Deal with it. So. Okay,
and
deal with it, dude.
How many times, even at our advanced age, we run into somebody and they say, oh, you were in the Marine Corps? And the guys, well, I thought about joining the Marines. No, I thought about it too. So.
It's the truth though. And they laugh about it, but it's, that you ask them, I'm a cab guy. And the cab guys got their spurs and all that stuff. But you ask them about being a Marine, and they love it, to be honest with you. But it does make us unique. We're different, and everybody knows it. And I think they hate us a little bit for it, but that's okay. They'll get over it at some point.
That's a good hate.
So. It is a good hate. That's a good way of saying it. It's a good hate.
With the focus too is these guys that are having the issues. When you're in the Marine Corps, you have a mission.
Well, can before you go on,
yeah.
I just want to say the whole basis of All Marine Radio is that. Now, Dennis, I've never met you, right? And people are going to ask me later today, hey, did you know that guy? Never spoke to him, exchanged emails with him, admired what he was doing, had him on the program. So you had never spoken to him? No. So we're Marines, man. It's the warmest place in the world when you're in the company of your fellow Marines. And it's just the way it is. And it's awesome.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. And you see it, we see it 4 times a year at Focus when these guys who not had any contact with the outside world get together with 36 of their fellow Marines or FMF Navy corpsmen.
Right.
And it takes them about an hour to warm up. And then it's just like they've known each other for their entire lives. And it's just, and that's a unique thing about the Marine Corps, and that's what I think, everybody loves about it. So.
No, it's, I'm somebody else gave me a name of somebody to have on the program the other day, so I'm talking to him. And a guy who comes on in the third hour, his name's Mike Musselman. So we're just talking, blah, 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 blah. Now, this guy got out in 1992 or 3. And I said, hey, do you know Mike Musselman? And he says, now, Musselman gets out after being the division gunner for the 1st Marine Division, right? CW05. And he says, Corporal Musselman? He said, yeah, Corporal Musselman. He said he was on barracks duty, and I think, did he have a Camaro over in England? I said, that's the same guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he says he was. But it's your point. It's not that big. It's not that big. And in a group, most guys are going to know somebody or been to someplace, blah, 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 blah. And that's part of that warmth.
Exactly.
It's just not that big. And so that's the basis of this is giving guys a place to hook into where they feel warm, where we talk about things like this as well as marine operations and stuff that's going on in the world. And then when they're not paying attention, we talk about post-combat related mental health. Don't kill yourself. Go out and get the help that you need don't quit on it. The VA is not the easiest organization to deal with. You know, tap into the Marine Corps League. Tap into those guys in your community. They can tell you who the ass bags are at the VA and who not to deal with. But don't quit. We owe it to the guys who didn't come back to live better lives. And that's what we're committed to. And so what you're talking about is exactly the basis for All Marine Radio. And I think a lot of good things around the country. I've got an email for you. We got to take a break. Do you want to take the break or take the email? I'll give you the choice, Dennis. That's the kind of guy that I am.
Sure.
What do you want to do? Do you want to do the email or do you want to take the break first?
Oh, we can take a break.
Okay. All right. My guest is Dennis Simpson. He's the president of the Focus Marines Foundation and operating out of St. Louis. We're talking about under the broad heading of post-traumatic growth is what they're in the business of. I heard that General Mattis used that phrase. And what we're talking about is leveraging our combat experiences into a better life, very much the same way that the guy who donated the land for this and the facility did. The greatest generation didn't come back and become disabled. They came back and carved out a world that we grew up in, and they did a pretty good job. So our job is, I think, to emulate them, and Dennis and his group are doing a great job facilitating that. We're going to continue our discussion about that coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
...8:41 here on a Wednesday. Hump day. We continue. We're talking about the Focus Marines Foundation, and joining me from St. Louis is the president of the organization, Dennis Simpson.
And, greetings.
There you have it. There you have it. A Cardinal fan, and I'm proud of it. Former Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, and also a law enforcement professional that deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. And just want to say hats off to you for doing that, Dennis. Certainly would have loved to have you around us both down in Helmand, but the professionals that came back, a lot of them former Army and Marine Corps guys, they were great to have around. Their professional expertise, especially in Afghanistan with all the drug trade, helped an awful lot and helped us identify stuff that we had no idea about. And so it was very cool to have you guys. Let me get to the email. Mac, heard a couple weeks ago, Ken Falk here, he of the Boulder Creek Retreat. I'm curious, is there any linkage between what they do and what Dennis is doing? It sounds very similar, this whole concept of post-traumatic growth, which was foreign to me until I heard Ken Falk's piece on All Marine Radio. Post-traumatic growth. Are you familiar with the term, Dennis?
I am. I am familiar with the term. I'm not familiar with the Boulder Creek. I know there's several programs around the country that are similar in nature to ours. It sounds like something I certainly would love to follow up with.
Well, let me do this. What they're doing is they're looking to clone the program and move it around the country, and I think certainly you guys ought to be in touch. So I will send you I will introduce you guys via email, and
okay.
because you guys are both in the same business doing the same great thing, which is really I would say people would look at it and say enabling lives, but to me there's a bigger thing going on here relative to this term post-traumatic growth. That experience does not have to be a lifelong disability. You can leverage that, and you guys are being kind of the springboard of it. So talk to me about post-traumatic growth. It must make you incredibly proud to see your program kind of as a turning point in the lives of guys who come to use it.
I'm going to tell you what, there's no feeling to describe it. Along my wall right next to my kids, I have photos of some of the graduates when I was a team leader there that are standing there and they're getting their bachelor's degree are standing on the altar, getting married with something they thought they would never do.
Right.
So, absolutely, just like a proud parent, we certainly share with their accomplishments. We're not successful 100% of the time, which is unfortunate. Wish we were. I think one of the things we do is, like, the team leader will follow that focused Marine for as long as he wants. And so once they leave focus after that week, while they're all, you know, it's a good environment for them, they're with fellow Marines, you know, ultimately, they have to go back home to whatever they left. So, you know, if they have a toxic relationship, they're going back to that. If they have issue, whatever issues, they're going back to those. So hopefully the focus will help them deal with that, but they're not abandoned. The team leader keeps in contact with them, works with them, and we also have a graduate program where if they have issues in finances or education, we have tracks for that where they will hook them up with an expert in those areas. So there's no 1 week and you're done. It's a continual thing. And that's why, you know, I still get emails in Texas from guys I've had from 2 or 3 years ago. Hey, I just had my second daughter. Here's a picture. my wife and I are doing great. You know, they're on the brink of divorce before. So yes, we absolutely encourage that growth, and when they're successful, just like a proud parent, we are puff our chest out too and say, hey, yeah, he's mine.
another email. Hey Mac, I'm learning to love All Marine Radio more because I keep hearing about these good things people are doing, and I want to learn more about them so I can help friends. I'm curious, how do they screen guys? I remember listening to the Boulder Creek interview. They talked about certain parameters that you had to be off alcohol, you had to be off drugs. They would get you into programs prior to coming that helped you there. Does Focus Marine Foundation have similar criteria for Marines that they take?
That's an excellent question, and we do, yes. So the eligibility is, you know, post 9/11, with the OIF or OEF Marine, they have to have a DD-214,
okay,
and a disability rating from the government, either DOD or VA. We look for an honorable discharge. However, if it's less than honorable, we have a case by case. We review it case by case. We totally understand that some guys were given less than honorable discharges because of their post-traumatic stress.
And just a memo to everybody on that. There was an act, and the name escapes me. It was signed by the president, President Obama, I want to say on December 23rd, that allows the DOD to review those. So if you believe that you were part of what Dennis just mentioned, that your traumatic brain injury or your PTSD was one of the mitigating factors, or was one of the contributing factors to the characterization of your discharge. I sound like an SJA, don't I? I'm sorry. I want to apologize to everybody for that.
That's an absolute point. I know exactly what you're talking about, right. And that's a great.
You need to do a little research, and then I'm going to give you another All Marine Radio bonus. There's law schools and law firms around the country that will represent you pro bono. That's free to get this done. So you combine that little piece of legislation, and you can find the list. Go to the All Marine Radio website. Go to show notes. There's a tab there that says show notes. And God, it's almost like we planned this thing. And then there's a tab that says law firms and school that provide free legal work for veterans. Click on that. And boom, you're in the front row. Okay?
Outstanding.
Exactly. And so what you're talking about is spot on. So, yeah, your full service interview, for crying out loud. I love this shit, Dennis.
It's the Marine Connection.
Exactly, man. We're fucking whooping it on them. Anyway, it's what I love about doing this, because let me tell you, this is not a disabling event. You know what? It does not have to be. And it's our job, though, to make sure we get the information out there, that we get the links out there. And for me, that I blow you up and get you into iTunes and get this word out because of the great work you're doing and the demand for it. And so it's awesome. It's like being a missionary. I love it. So anyway, I interrupted you. So you guys,
we've seen that other than honorable, hopefully that new legislation will get this straightened out. I just want a quick example. We had a master sergeant come through our program, and 20 years as an outstanding Marine, multiple tours in Iraq, multiple tours in Afghanistan, and sought refuge in a bottle and ended up getting a less than honorable discharge after 20 years of outstanding service. So, you know, it's a case by case exception. We'll take a hard look at those issues. And this Marine I'm talking about is now a mentor for other Marines that come through our program. I mean, the guy is just a stand-up guy. He's done great with his life, and you know, it is not a disabling factor to have something like that. You know, there's ways to move forward from that. So once we the best way to get in the program is to go through our website and fill out the form. But what happens for the vetting is we'll get with the Marine Corps District Injured Support Coordinators, mm-hmm. and we'll get with the Combat Casualty Assistant Nurses from the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, who will contact that Marine and do some further vetting. They'll ask some questions, get some more information from them. And yes, if you back to the drug and the alcohol, we're not a dry out center. We're not set up for that. So if you are addicted to drugs and alcohol, it's probably best for you to dry out, get that issue taken care of first, so that you can move forward in other areas of your life. If you don't get that taken care of, you're just going to go back to it, and everything we do at Focus is going to be for naught. So get those issues taken care of. Same thing if you have diagnosed. We are not clinical psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. So if you have, you know, a mental disorder that you're if it's under control with medication, that's fine. If not, we're not somebody that can diagnose your mental diagnosis. We're more of a moving forward with your life thing. So, that's part of the vetting, and that you know that's why we go through our nurses who have extreme experience with post-traumatic stress, TBI, all that. They're we call them our angels, and they'll mm-hmm. actually come out to Focus for the week. We'll have four, five, six of them out there, and they're godsends. They truly are. They do wonderful things. Kim Bradley has come out and kind of runs the show out there and does tremendous work. So that's part of our vetting process. And once we get the okay from the nurse and the disc, then we'll get you taken care of. No cost at all to the Marine. There's absolutely zero cost.
Wow.
We provide we'll fly you from wherever you're at to St. Louis, pick you up at the airport, take you to Augusta, Missouri. Everything, housing, food, everything is free to the Marine. There's no cost at all. So.
And he comes by himself. There's no he or she comes by themselves. There's no family members.
No,
or anything.
No.
Okay.
No. We it's kind of funny you mentioned that. You're playing right into it. So.
Right. This is not rehearsed, by the way.
No, we just started a caregiver program. It's sort of a packet we put together for the people they left at home, whether it's a wife or a parent or whatever. Because when they come out here, it's not a retreat. This is not where you sit around at a campfire and shoot the bull and where you fish all day and then hike in the woods. This is an intense program. They were going from 7 in the morning till 7 or 8 at night. And you have the free time in the evening around the campfire, but a lot of the wives think that our husbands, we have several female Marines come out, you're going away for a retreat for a week and I'm stuck here with the kids, type of issue. So we put together a caregiver packet to explain the program, explain what they're going through, and also give them advice and tips on how to deal with it. And we're looking to expand that. That's something we're just now getting into. But no, back to your original question, the Marines come by themselves. This is for them and to get them through their issues. And you know, Marines, among other Marines, are a lot more open than they would be if they were with a spouse or a friend or something like that. So,
right. We all know that.
Yes.
No, it's a sad truth. I mean, and I think, and it's interesting because there's some programs that do include spouses, but the bottom line, I think, for a lot of Marines is that they're damaged and they're trying to get better, and they know they're damaged and they want to get past the damage, but a lot of time the spouse, there's baggage there too, and so you got to get them on the path to being full up round so that they can turn around and then contribute to their relationship. And I guess obviously you discussed that though, right? Repairing the other damage in their life while you're sitting around, you know, trying to help them heal.
Yes, exactly. And we've actually had letters from spouses, that will say, oh my God, what'd you do with my guy? he's a changed man. He's come back and he's actually told me he loved me. He's holding the kids. He's taken steps to go out into the store with me. He's coming out of the basement, and those right alongside with all the other confidence for guys, some guys, that's a huge step. It's just a huge step.
It's a gigantic step. I mean, because the sad part in these relationships is you know, these women, you know, they saw a full up round, they met a full up round guy, and then he left, and when he came back, he wasn't the same. And then he left again, and he got worse. And then he left again, and then he got worse. Then he got out, and all the support that was around him went away, and he got worse. And now what do I do? And you're giving them back their lives. So Dennis Simpson, my guest, we're talking about the Focus Marines Foundation here on a Wednesday edition, hump day edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, Dennis, so tell people, give them the information. How do they get in touch with you guys, and how do they get involved in the program?
The best way to get in touch with us is through our website,
okay.
FocusMarines.org. Barring that, you can send an email. We have a total of 3 paid employees. Takes over 120 volunteers to run the program. And out of the 120 volunteers, probably 119 are former veteran Marines. So everything from transportation to food service to cleanup. So we're a skeleton staff so that all our funds go directly to help the Marines. So that's why I'm saying our website's the best. You can call our number. It's an answering service, and somebody will get back with you. And the phone number for that is 888-553-0078. Or you can send an email to help@focusmarines.org.
Okay, give that phone number out one more time,
888-753. 553-0078.
All right, now what we got a couple minutes left. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you here during this interview?
I think it's gone pretty well. We kind of hit the little niche there. I think the Marine connection. Hey, if you're ever in St. Louis, look up the St. Louis Marine Mafia. Give me a call. I will say that our next session is starting on March 4th. And then the one after that starts on May 6th. And then we have one in September, and we'll have one in November. So 4 times a year, 36 Marines is the most we can accommodate right now. Hey, I just want the Marines. Here's our biggest challenge, is getting those Marines that need the help aware of us. Marines know Marines. They know who's struggling. So if you're listening to the program and you know someone or that needs the help, get them out of the kitchen, get them out of the basement, and give them to our website.
And, you know, one of the things I've learned, Dennis, is look, the VA has a role, but I think that the most effective help and support is peer-to-peer support. It's Marines helping Marines because it's a warm place, it's a safe place, and when you pick up the phone and you're looking for help and somebody says, "Hey, Devil Dog, how are you?" You know, you're home. You know that. And so that's what I love about these programs. It's going home and so Dennis, first of all, hats off to you and your crew and all you guys have done. We'll do our best to obviously people listening today. And we will get it out there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, and thank you very much for coming on, and first of all for reaching out, and then second of all for coming on, and I hope you don't mind if in the future I give you a call and come back, and whether we're doing roundtable discussions about post-traumatic growth or just want to get an update on how everything at Focus Marines Foundation is going, that you won't be a stuck-up sergeant, but you'll come back on and come back on All Marine Radio and talk some shit with us.
Absolutely. I would absolutely love it. I enjoyed the conversation, and what you're doing is fantastic. You know, it's like we beat it to death with Marines, no Marines, and they have something, a forum like this to discuss these things is fantastic. And I appreciate it, and I appreciate you allowing us the opportunity to talk about Focus Marines Foundation.
No, hey, look, it's my privilege. I have a great job, and that is telling stories of great organizations like you, guys who are stay committed to the Marine Corps, and the brotherhood and sisterhood that we share among Marines is a life-changing event, and you guys are great ambassadors for it and great examples for it. So, Dennis, I will be in touch, but thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, I will reach out and introduce you to Ken Falk and his group at Boulder Creek, because I'll tell you what, I think you guys have something. And really what Ken's doing is, you know, they're creating mobile training teams to go out and be able to do it more. So I think it's very much right up your alley in terms of creating more and more of this, getting more and more Marines involved nationally so we can help other guys. So hats off to you, and I will certainly reach out and make that connection.
Absolutely. Semper Fi, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. That is Dennis Simpson, the Focus Marine. I have a cool job, man. I have a cool job. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.